announcement. Tracy, all right, unpause, commercial's over. Here we go, you ready? The Roman soldier's shield. It says letter A. The word shield comes from a Greek word. This particular word in the Greek is the word meaning door. Everybody say a door. All right, now I'm going to go through these quickly. There's not too many blank spaces. It was originally referred to as a large oblong stone used to close an entrance. Thus, this idea of a door, right? And then letter C, lowercase c, later it came to mean a shield, not the small circular shield. In fact, they had these small ornamental, almost circular shields the Roman soldiers did that were usually meant for like marching and to demonstrate the might of the Roman army. But they were not practical for real defense in the military. It was just an ornamental, had a lot of decoration on it, just a round shield. But it was not the shield the Apostle Paul is referring to here, because that would not have been good enough. Notice it was not the small circular shield, but the large oblong and four-cornered shield, about 4 foot by 2.5 feet wide, sometimes curved on the inner side. Everybody got a little bit of a picture of that? All right, going on, letter D. From these dimensions, you can see how it would have been large enough to cover all the other armor and allow the soldier to stand behind it fully protected. And sometimes they would come together as an army and they put their shields together and they'd stand close to one another, and it would essentially become a wall, an impenetrable wall against those that they were coming against. You know, the Roman army, I mean, they were a formidable army in their day. Isn't that right? Are you doing okay? All right. Then going on with this. Now, notice now. In letter E, the shield, this is from Barnes's notes, the shield was usually made of light wood or a rim of brass and covered with several folds or thicknesses of stout hide. In other words, leather. Several layers. I read one place about 6 layers of leather and thick leather, if you will, which was preserved by frequent anointing. Everybody say anointing. All right, what does anointing mean? It talks about, in other words, because it was made out of leather, how many of you know you had to treat it every once in a while by rubbing it with oil, or that leather of that shield would become brittle, it would become easily breakable or crack and all of that, so they had to lubricate that shield periodically with oil to keep it strong, to keep it in good condition. Now, you follow what I'm saying? All right, going on now with this. Notice letter F from the Net Bible. Before a battle in which flaming arrows might be shot at them, the soldiers wet the leather covering with water to extinguish the arrows. In fact, another writer puts it a little bit differently, where they would actually, before a battle, they would dip their shields into water in order so that it would absorb some of the water, so that when the fiery darts came, it would hit the shield and it would put the fire out. Is everybody doing all right? You hearing me? You follow me here, all right? And so we see thus this Roman shield. Now, letter B, this spiritual shield is called faith, right? Some biblical definitions of faith quickly. Hebrews 11, 1, we will turn there. Let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, notice now this many of us are aware of. This is the best, if you will, or the premier, as I put in our notes, the premier definition of the word faith, or of what faith is. And you'll notice here, Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Going now to our notes, notice now, this spiritual shield is called faith. Number one, some biblical definitions of faith. Hebrews 11, 1. Again, premier definition from the Bible. Number one under that. Is everybody following me? Notice the word substance. That's a little blind to us. How many of you have a Bible where it says substance, as I read? All right, usually King James, New King James, and many other translations say substance. In the Greek, it means this. In general, that which underlies the apparent. So that, therefore, means it's not apparent. It's not seeable, we could say. Hence, reality, essence, substance. And here it goes. That which is the basis of something. Hence, assurance, guarantee, and confidence. All right, and so I'm going to go through this quickly. You can meditate on some of that. And then letter B, lowercase b, under that, the ground of confidence, assurance, guarantee, or proof. All right. And so this idea of substance, it is the reality of that which we hope for. Faith is the reality of that which we hope for. Faith is the confidence of that which we hope for. Faith is the assurance of that which we hope for. Are you hear what I'm saying? And so faith is the basis. Faith is the foundation. I could have included that as a part of the definition. The foundation, the very foundation of that which we hope for. See, hope is unseen. Hope is what we are expecting. If it's biblical hope, it's a favorable, joyful expectation, but yet it's not yet seen. And yet faith is the foundation or the assurance or the confidence of what you yet don't see. Are you getting this? All right, now going on with this, notice the word evidence. Remember Hebrews 11:1, so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Notice now the word evidence means this, a proof that by which a thing is proved or tested. And so we could read it this way. If you'll notice, I put a suggested definition then, therefore, letter B. Based on the above definitions, Hebrews 11:1 could be translated, faith is the reality, essence, basis, confidence, and assurance of what we hope for, and it is the proof of things not seen. Another rendering of that word evidence is being convinced. It is being convinced of what you do not see. Right? Everybody getting this now? All right, now there's a lot of things about not seeing, and we don't have the time, but in throughout the 11th chapter of Hebrews, several times, it talks about how, for example, Abraham went to a land that he had not seen. It talks about other places and other things pertaining to having not seen, yet believed. And 2 Corinthians 4, and about verse 18 and 19, it says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal, right? And over and over again, this concept of believing in the unseen, believing in what the senses do not reveal to us, but yet based on the promises of the Word of God, right? Not just believing any nutty thing, but believing the Word despite whether or not we see evidence of it in the natural, right? Believing the Word. I don't know about you, I never saw Jesus Christ, but I believe. Amen. I may never have saw Him, but I've experienced Him. How about you? Amen. I may never have touched Him, but I've been touched by Him. How about you? Amen? And so this is faith. This is what we're dealing with here. Now, going to page 2, notice some other translations. The NIV says it now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Say certain of what we don't see. That's faith, certain of what you don't see. Weymouth translation, now faith is a confident assurance of that for which we hope, a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. But you know what? The Word reveals to us and helps us see with eyes that are not physical. Isn't that right? The Word causes us to see having not seen. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? The Word, the promises of God, the very fact of who He is, reveals things to us that we cannot see, but yet we see with what is proverbially called the eye of faith. How could we otherwise look to the unseen? Look to the unseen sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? How can you see the unseen? You see it because you allow the Word of God to create the image of what the Word says within you, and you see it in here. In here, you see it before you ever experience it out there. All right, now going on the Berkeley translation, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for, a conviction of unseen realities. Let's look at some fresh thoughts about faith. Letter A, faith is a reason. This is from John Stout, or Stott. Are you with me? Everybody follow me? I know I'm going fast. Faith is a reasoning trust, a trust which reckons thoughtfully and confidently upon the trustworthiness of God. How many of you know He's trustworthy? Upon the trustworthiness of God. Billy Graham said, faith is not anti-intellectual. It is an act of man that reaches beyond the limits of our five senses. And it is beyond the limits of our five senses then, isn't it? And that's why people that are bound by their five senses, people that are natural people, people that don't know Jesus, how many of you know the whole world without Christ is completely, really, only moved by their five senses, right? But yet, faith is beyond the five senses. Notice, letter C, faith is not a formula. It is a result of a living, thriving relationship with the Lord. Everybody say relationship. It's part of a thriving, a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mentioned Galatians 2:20 to you, where it talks about this idea of that the life which I now live, how do we live it? We live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, right? And so the faith of Jesus in us, and due to our relationship with him, we live out this life of faith, right? And I want to encourage you, some of you need to launch out in faith. Some of you, God is dealing with you about doing something that is beyond your reasoning, perhaps is beyond what you can figure out, and yet you have this prompting. Every once in a while it comes back to you, and you think, oh man, I can't do that. But if it keeps coming back to you, you need to take that to prayer. You need to be thinking about, well, maybe that's God. Maybe it's something you don't want to do. Some people have this notion that God's only going to ask you to do what you want to do. Where'd that come from? That is not true. Amen. Do you know, I never wanted to pastor. I still usually don't want to pastor. But what's that got to do with it? You just do what God wants you to do, and you find great joy in that, right? I mean, I was going to be a forest ranger. Some of you don't know. I was going to be a forest ranger. I was all enrolled, man. I was going to be up in the mountain, shoot bear, and fight forest fires and stay away from people because I couldn't stand people. God does miracles, doesn't he? Amen. All right, going on with this now. Letter D, faith is a force that causes change. Amen? Faith is a force that causes change. E, faith is the unquestioning certainty that the way to happiness, peace, and strength on earth and in heaven is to accept God at his word. And so faith is accepting God at his word. Letter F, faith is the leaning of the entire human personality upon God. The leaning of your entire person, we could say, upon God. The leaning of the entire personality, human personality, upon God or the Messiah in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Letter G, faith is the living, divinely implanted, acquired, and created principle of inward and wholehearted confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God and all that he says. And then faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible, doesn't it? And then finally, in this section, faith is not a destination, but it is a journey. It is a journey, a never-ending journey of growth. Amen? And so it's a journey, not a destination. All right, now, we're going to go through these quickly. Everybody's doing good? Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. I want to encourage you to, some folks, they just need to jump out of their boat a little bit here. Amen. Be like a good old Peter. Peter, he jumped out of the boat. People criticized Peter, but you know what? There's still a whole lot of disciples still in their boat. I give a whole lot more credit to Peter who jumped out. Maybe he did start to sink, but he walked on more water than I ever have. And how about those other characters? They didn't jump out. They might have criticized him too. I don't know. There's no record of it. But they might have criticized him. But you know what? At least he got out. They stayed in the boat and watched. Probably, I'm not even sure they were rooting him on. They said, man, Peter, I hope he sinks. They did tend to be in competition with one another, didn't they, at times? Man, look at Peter. Thinks he's something walking on that water. As they hang on for dear life in that boat. Number three, who has faith and how does it come? Letter A, I want you to say, you have faith. Now say, I have faith. You have it. If you're born again, you've got faith. Don't think you don't have faith. You got faith. And you may say, well, I don't have enough faith. You got all the faith you need. Now, you might need to strengthen your faith, but just as you've heard the illustration of a baby, my son, when he was born, and even now, he's 11, going to be 12, he's got the same amount of muscles as I have, doesn't he? Now, he may not have developed them as much as I have over years, but yet he's got just the same amount of muscle, right? And so we have the same amount of faith. We've been dealt the measure of faith. And so we just need to exercise that faith. We need to use that faith and strengthen that faith. But you have faith. I'll tell you, he may be 11, but I'll tell you, I don't like wrestling with him because he wears me out, man. I'll tell you that right now. Says, Dad, I want to wrestle. I say, Jake, I want a nap. What do you mean a wrestle? What? Oh, Lord. But I do it. I just whoop them fast and get it over with. A couple of years, man, he'll be whooping me. I'll guarantee you that. All right, now going on with this. Now, you ready? You have faith. Letter B. Faith came to you how? By hearing the word of God, right? And again, we won't go. You go. Romans 10, verse 17. And I know you know, but read it in its context and read it afresh. Never think that you know it so well you don't need to read it again. Never think that, because you'll get something fresh if you go in faith, right? And so we know Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you may think, well, you know, if you say I've got faith, I don't need to hear anymore. No. You need to strengthen it by hearing more. You need to keep on hearing. The more you hear, what you hear the most is what's going to be strongest in your life. If you hear CNN the most, or even, God forbid, Fox News the most, and no matter what, if you hear that the most, how many of you know you're going to have more faith in that than the Word of God, right? I'm not against watching the news, but I am saying this, that you better counterweight that with the truth of God's Word, right? Because other news, other things will sap you of strength. And it won't be that you don't have faith. You'll still have faith, but you might have more unbelief. Just like the man that came to Jesus that day and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. His problem was not believing. His problem was he had more unbelief than he had belief. And so we need to get rid of unbelief. So if you feed your faith, you'll have stronger faith. If you feed your unbelief, you'll have stronger unbelief. If you're feeding that more, you'll have more unbelief than you do belief, in terms of strength goes, and therefore you'll not receive what God wants you to receive. And you know what I think we ought to use our faith for more than anything else is for souls. I think we ought to use our faith to reach the lost and stop saying that person at work, they're too rough, they're too tough, they'll never accept the Lord. Or that family member, you know, uncle, whatever his name might be, oh man, he'll never receive the Lord. Stop saying that. Stop saying that. Stop saying that he'll never, or they'll never, or whatever. They're too lost, or they'll never receive. No, stop saying no. Begin to believe God. Begin to believe God for the right laborer. It might not be you. Sometimes people don't receive from family. It might not be you, but you believe God's going to send the right laborer, right? Right? Amen. So Uncle Bubba gets saved. Hallelujah. All right? Now, going on with this. Notice it says again, number one under that, it says you acquired faith for salvation because someone shared the word of God with you, right? Number two, you cannot have faith without hearing. You heard, you've got faith, but you need to feed your faith with more of the word. And then I give some examples of people that acquired, it says specifically, they acquired faith by hearing the word of God. And the first three examples there are all connected with the same event, so you have to read them all to get it all. Now, number four, how does faith compare to a shield? Letter A, our faith shield needs to be rubbed with oil. Or anointed by praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, they rubbed that leather with oil to keep it supple, to keep it from getting brittle. Isn't that right? Now, we need to hear the Word of God and keep on hearing the Word of God. And one way we need to hear the Word of God is by speaking the Word of God. Because you are 10 times more apt to believe what you hear yourself say than what someone else says. And so, speak the Word of God. Amen? But on top of that, the Bible says, Jude 20 is the reference there. It says, and you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And so there is an anointing, there is an oiling, if you will, of your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. And so oil that shield. Keep it oiled. Amen. Now notice now, letter B under this, our faith shield needs to be regularly dipped into the water of God's Word. The washing of water by the Word of God, already expressed to you already, this idea of continuing in the Word. Continue in the Word. Hear the Word. Speak the Word. Amen? Act upon the Word. Be a doer of the Word. And this will all cause your faith to grow and to increase. Amen? How many of you know God's shield, the shield of faith, is impenetrable? It cannot be penetrated, but it can be put down. It can be weakened. It can be laid down and not used. You need to use your faith. Amen. All right, now quickly, notice as we go back to Ephesians 6, it says this again, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. finalizing this, getting to the end of our notes now. Number five, the fiery darts of the wicked one. Notice letter A, the words will be able, you'll find there in the scripture, will be able are one Greek word. I give you this Greek word because many of you will find it familiar. Dunamai, we hear the word dunamis often. You shall receive power, dunamis. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, right? And so the dunamis power of God, this will be able, one Greek word, dunamai, which means to have power by virtue of inherent ability and resources. This is power provided by an outward source but resident within. Obviously, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. And so again, this concept that as you above all put on or take above you or above all having the shield of faith, as you have the shield of faith, you will be able, you will be infused with power. You will have the power of the Holy Spirit in order that you might quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When we exercise faith, the Holy Spirit's power shows up. You can't separate faith and power. They go together. When there's true faith, there'll be true power. Are you getting anything out of this? And so, it says that. Now, number one, believers need to be careful now not to quench the Holy Spirit before they attempt to quench any fiery darts from the wicked one then, right? Don't quench the Holy Spirit in your life. If you want to quench fiery darts, quench. Don't quench the Holy Spirit then, right? Now, the word quench means to extinguish or to cause to go out. Metaphorically, it speaks of ceasing, thwarting, or blocking the activity. We block the activity of the enemy as we what? As we above all take the shield of faith. Now, we don't have time to go into it. I wanted to. This was going to be my crescendo, if you will. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 34, it talks about, as you know, Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith often spoken of. And it talks about how some quenched the fire. They quenched the fires and they silenced or they closed the mouths of lions by faith and all those various things. That word quench in Hebrews 11:34 is the same Greek word found here. And when you go back and reference it, it refers to Daniel chapter 3. And you remember in Daniel chapter 3, the three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow to the king. And so the king Nebuchadnezzar was enraged with fury and said, heat up that furnace seven times more than what it ever has been before. And they threw them in to the fiery furnace. But before they did, they said, our God has delivered us. And our God will deliver us. And they said, even if he doesn't, no, my king or our king, we will not bow to you because we serve the living God. How many of you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were in a fiery furnace. They had a fiery darts coming against them, but they quenched the fire because they had up their shield of faith and they were speaking it out of their mouths. Isn't that right? Stand with me, and if the worship team would come. So much more we can say about all these things. But that'll be for another time. Amen? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for the armor of God. Father, I pray that these truths pertaining to faith, Father God, would not escape any of us. Father, I am convinced there's those here today that you've called to go beyond what they can reason, that you've called to go beyond what they can figure out, and you've called them to launch off and to jump out of their proverbial boat and to begin to walk on water like they never have before. Father God, that we might be convinced of the unseen promises of God more than we are of anything we see or feel or touch. Father God, thank you for revealing to us the need to not only believe, but to speak and to act on what we believe in spite of what we see around us, Father God. Father, I pray that we are people strong in faith, that we're able and willing to knock down walls, Father God, to overcome obstacles, to defeat the enemy, to pull people out of hell and to bring them into the kingdom of God. We are people of faith, and therefore as people of faith and as exercising faith in a living God, we cause the impossible to become possible because you are a God of possibilities, Father God. And so, Father God, thank you for working a work in our hearts. Thank you for the shield that quenches the trials, the trouble, the temptations that the enemy brings, Father God. that our shields might be strong, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.